I know all through last year, going into this year in 2021, God has been downloading on the inside of me. I mean, just like you would press the download button on your computer or iPad or something and you start downloading stuff, God has just been overwhelming me with not only his love, but the word.
Yeah.
It's become even richer and more in depth than I think I've experienced it in just a long time. I'm always a stickler for the word. You know, I believe that when you get born again, we have classes for the new believers, and I went through the same classes when I got born again, and to learn the Word of God, get into the Word of God, finding out who I am, you know, what all the promises and things that the Bible gives us. But as I progressed, I found myself becoming hungrier and hungrier in the Word of God.
Amen.
And the one thing that in last year and coming into this year, the one thing that God continues to download on the inside of my heart, he says it to me every single day in prayer. Every day. And that is this: prepare my people for my son's return. Prepare my people for my son's return. Do not compromise on my word in any form of fashion.
Yes.
In other words, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says he's coming back for a people that are without spot or blemish.
Come on.
That means he's coming back for a people that are in love with him so much and seeking him to a point in place that they are saying no to sin.
Yes.
And they're saying yes to Jesus.
Come on.
And no matter what happens in their life, they're going to continue to go. But I do know this. Pastor Cam said this. The Lord put in his heart that this was going to be the year of the church. 3 days ago in prayer, as I was praying and actually praying that, the Lord began to drop in my heart this. He said, yes, it will be the year of the church. It will be the year of my continuation of dealing with my church. He said, many people have said to me, why aren't you dealing with all of the corruption and things that we are seeing in the earth? And he said, because before I deal with the earth and I deal with the world, I first deal with my church.
Yes.
And the Lord began to show me that, because the Bible says judgment begins in the church first. Begins in the house of the Lord first. So what he's doing is he's coming and he's preparing us. And he's pointing things out because he wants us to be pure. He wants us to walk even as he walks.
Yes.
He wants us to walk with him.
Yeah.
And he wants the world to see not a compromised church, not a dirty church. How many of you ever seen a bride walking down the aisle with a dress that was all spotted, dirty, and just messed up? Stained like crazy.
Not once.
Never. You've never seen that. And so why do we think that when Jesus comes back that it's okay for us to be like that? No, it's not. I'm telling you, God is purging. God is cleansing.
Come on.
God is purifying. And he's going to keep it through this year. By the way, the Lord spoke to me and said that those that he moves upon their heart, especially in ministry, that are living hidden lives and compromising lives, he will move and speak to them to repent like he did in the churches in Revelation, the second chapter and chapter 3, he will speak to them, and he will speak to pastors. He will speak to leaders. He will speak to fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
And he's going to point things out and said, you need to repent of these things and you need to change these things. Those who will not, this is what the Lord put in my heart in prayer. Those who will not, God will remove the candlesticks. There are going to be some candlesticks that are going to be removed. Those who will not will no longer shine the way they used to shine. Because God is going to get all the glory, all the praise. He does not. He's never created a celebrity church. He never created the fivefold ministry to get all the accolades and all the glory, and all the celebration was about them. Don't you know that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, when everybody was hooping and hollering and throwing palm leaves down and their coats and jackets down and everything, don't you know the donkey would have made a big mistake if he thought all that was for him and not for Jesus? This is going to be a day and a time that you are going to see the exaltation and the praise and the worship of, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Come on.
And wherever he is lifted up, and wherever he is celebrated, and wherever his word is preached and taught uncompromisingly, yes, there will be an absolute move of God.
Yes.
Not, listen to me, it's not a revival. It's not a visitation. It is what God has already done. The Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, has already come.
Yes.
Fire has already come.
Yes.
It's just that what God wants to do is, God is not going to continue to walk in a defiled church. Every time he told the children of Israel, he said, before he showed up, he said, sanctify yourself.
He did.
We were sanctified when we got born again, and we're in the process of being sanctified, and we will be sanctified when we get to heaven. This is not a day and a time that you want to pull back. This is not a day and a time that you want to get in a position and place that you are compromising your walk for the sake of the world. This is a day and a time that you want to set your face like flint. But this is the day and a time that you and I are called, when it's the darkest hour, we are called to be the lightest light.
Yes. So good.
He wants us to walk in the light because we are the light. And he wants us to understand his love for us. And listen to this, not only his love for us, but his love for the whole world.
Come on.
And the only entity in the world that can tell the world about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and what Jesus has done is the church.
Yes. Yes.
Is the church. So, listen to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 and 2. That was enthusiastic. I like that. Apostle John, and the Apostle John is known as the love apostle.
Yes.
He's always talking about the love of God. So he said, behold, and the word behold, it means this, perceive this and understand. What I'm getting ready to say, I want you to really understand it. And how do we understand it? We understand it because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of it. Behold what manner. I love that word because that word means foreign. It means it's from another country. It's a different quality. What manner of love? In other words, John's saying the love of God is so different. And it's from a foreign country, from foreign soul. Where is it coming from? It's from heaven.
Yeah.
Because God is love. You can't find this love. God is agape. You can't find this love on this earth. See, what we think about love is I love ice cream. I love cake. I love Five Guys. I love my dog. I love my cat. I love this. I love that. I love my car. I love all of these things. And so therefore, when we start talking about that type of love, that is not what God put into the New Testament as His love. His love is agape. What we have before we get born again is eros. It's where we get the word erotica from. And we'll talk about that next time. So, he said, behold, what manner, what foreign love, what kind of different quality of love that, listen to this, the Father has bestowed, has given to us, bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. It doesn't know us. But listen to this. But the world needs to know Jesus. It doesn't know us because of the way we walk, the way we talk, and the way we act now because of Jesus living on the inside of our hearts and because of what the Word of God says. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are, now, not when you get to heaven, now we are the children of God. So here's the point. The world does not know us. The world does because it did not know Him. So the question is, why does the world not know the love of God? Because the world is walking and living in spiritual darkness, controlled by the power and the nature of sin and Satan. So all behavior, conduct, actions, and words should not surprise us.
Right.
Why are we so surprised when people start acting nutty and crazy? Why should we be surprised when we're standing around and hear people cussing? Why should we be surprised when people are acting nuts? Acting in ways that we say, why would somebody act like that? Why would somebody do something like that? Folks, this is the problem with the church today. We forgot who we used to be. We forgot what we came out of and what we were saved from.
Yep.
Because not one of you here or watching us was born righteous and holy. Even though sometimes we act that way before we're born again. And then we can get acting that way in self-righteousness after we get born again. We can start looking down on people and start attacking people and saying all kinds of... And we forget, I was that sinner. I used to cuss like that. I used to drink like that. I used to smoke like that. I used to run places. I used to do all... Now, some of you may be sitting here and say, well, I didn't do that. Well, I was not as moral as you were. Okay? And I hate that. Honestly, I hate that because I wish I really had been saved at a young age. I could have made an incredible impact upon my generation back in those days. But it took a while for me to get there. So all behavior, conduct, actions, words should not surprise us. You and I also, with our actions, behavior, and lifestyles, we came out of all kinds of different lifestyles. We came out of all kinds of families. I hear people say this all the time. Well, you know, my family was so dysfunctional. All of us were dysfunctional because we came from Adam and Eve. Okay? So all of us had dysfunction.
Yeah.
So all the hidden things, the words, we were just like the world before we accepted Jesus as Lord. So why does the world act the way the world acts? They're being good sinners. Because remember, turn to somebody next to you and say, remember.
Remember.
Remember, remember, remember this. You didn't know what you were doing either.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was wrong until somebody shared Jesus with you. And you got born again. You thought cussing, you knew morally, okay, I don't need to cuss around certain people, but the people you got around, you gonna cuss. Those of us who got hooked on alcohol and drinking, what do? We did it because that's the way our friends did it. Somebody educated us. Most of the things that we did in the world, we were educated by other people. Our peers, our people we're around. Lifestyles that people got into is because somebody led them into that lifestyle. And of course, with the sin nature, we just jumped in wide open. And some of the people that led us into crazy things, we became crazier than they were with our actions and deeds. Are y'all listening to me? And we forget that we came out of that. So when we see people and hear people and watch these actions, knowing where it comes from, as Christians, it should not shock us. We know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
We know the sin nature. So it says, listen to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 19. We know that we are the children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Let me read that one more time. I want you to hear this because the attacks that I am seeing by Christians to people in the world. I'm sitting here going, were you ever unsaved? Were you ever a sinner in your own life? Do you realize the grace of God that saved you? Do you realize that you were headed for hell and Jesus intercepted you? Do you realize that you brought grief and heartache to the heart of God? And yet He still saved you, and now you're coming out and you're underlining in your Bible and pointing out all the things that are listed in the Bible concerning the world. And do you know why? That God gives us the Word concerning the things and the characteristics and the actions and the conduct of the world. It's because He wants us to see that we came out of that and they need to be saved. They need to be saved. They need Jesus.
Yes.
And instead of us being so caught up in praying for all of our needs met, which nothing wrong with that, but if that's all you're praying for, you old selfish thing, why aren't you praying for your coworkers? Why aren't you praying for your neighborhood? Why aren't you praying for those around you? Why can't you pray for the person that you see pull up at the stoplight? I do this constantly. I pull up at the stoplight and I just look and I said, Father, I don't know if that person next to me is saved or not. And I'm asking you, send laborers across his or her path. Wow. I pray for their salvation. Huh. I pray for their salvation. Because I have a real revelation in my heart. Because I should have been dead. 5 times in my life before I was saved. Dead. And by the grace of God and the prayers of my dad, I didn't bust hell wide open. So I really have a heart. And I believe with all my heart is the reason that we have people get saved every Sunday is because I have a heart to see people get saved.
Yes, sir.
I don't do it just because I want numbers or I want things. I have a heart to see people that are headed to hell, people that are in the power of sin, in the power of Satan. I want to see them set free like God set me free.
Yeah, come on.
And delivered me. I don't go in my Bible and underline all the things that are characteristics of the lifestyle of a sinner. I don't have to do that. I was there. But what I want to do is go to the next scripture where it says, but God, who was rich in mercy and grace. I want to underline the love of Jesus, the love of God, the forgiveness of God.
Come on.
The cross and the resurrection. I'm going to let you talk in a minute.
You go right on ahead. I'm enjoying myself.
It says, listen to this. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 4, Satan, who is the God, little g, who is the God of this world, he puts everything in this world together, all the systems, all the philosophies, all the beliefs outside of the Word of God, outside of Jesus. He's the one that orchestrates all of this. He is the author of it. And you know that when Jesus was tempted, he showed Jesus the whole world. He said, I can give you this if you just bow down just one time and worship me. And he said, I can give it to whoever I want to give it to. Oh, the devil can bless your socks off.
Woo.
Wow. And he will blind you and then take you straight to torment and hell. And demons will laugh at you and make fun of you. Because all the stuff that you want, that you think is the meaning of this life, you cannot take it with you when you leave. And you don't know what anybody's going to do with it after you leave. So listen to this. Satan, who is the God, little g, of this world, has blinded the minds, just like all of us were blinded, of those who don't believe. There was a time we didn't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And listen to this. He said they're blinded. But listen, folks, this is what is so important about us as the church. And Pastor Cam was sharing this last Sunday about evangelism and Noah preaching the gospel. Why is it so important for us to be a witness? Why is it so important that when the opportunity opens up that we tell people about Jesus? Because the moment you open your mouth, if all you know is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, if that's all you know, that's all you need. That's all the Holy Spirit needs. The Holy Spirit just needs somebody to open their mouth and just say, if you can do nothing but say, Jesus loves you, the Holy Spirit, boom! Will take the blinders off of their eyes. He will open their eyes to see and open their ears to hear the truth. They have a choice they can make. But remember this, sometimes when you're witnessing to somebody, you may be just planting the seed. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. It's important that we just plant the seed. And the Holy Spirit, the moment you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the moment you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit pulls the blinders back. They hear, and He brings conviction. He does it, not you. If you try to do it, you'll bring condemnation, not conviction. The Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then is the opportunity for them to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So listen to this scripture, and then Pastor Cam's going to talk. He said in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 1 and 5, again, I'm letting you see why the world acts the way the world acts. So you know. And when we know this, this is the reason we should be doing spiritual warfare. This is the reason we should be praying and interceding. For our city, for where you work, in your schools, wherever it may be, you're interceding that the Holy Spirit will move and that God would save those around you. So he said, once you were dead, that means you were separated from God. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. He's talking to all of us that were saved. We were in that position and place. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil and the commander of the powers of the unseen world. Can everybody recognize? Please listen to me. You're hearing this, right? It says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil and the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. following the passionate desires and inclinations of the sinful nature. That's the reason I have compassion on lost people. Because I know, I've been there, and so have you. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Aren't you glad that God does it? Here comes the but again. Ready? But God. I love it when God butts in. Amen? And it's not an interruption. He says, but God is so rich in mercy. Oh my gracious. Mercy is basically, He does not give to us what we deserved. But God, who is so rich in mercy, He loved us. When did He love you? He loved you when you were living in sin. That is so hard for religious folks and self-righteous, pharisaical people. You can't see that. I got scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says that before you were even born into this earth, God loved you. That is just amazing. And then He did everything He could, because He loved you so much, He did everything He could to put you in a place like being in a church, or people crossed your path to tell you about Jesus. Man. But God, who is rich in mercy, He loved us so much that even when we were dead, gosh, even when we were dead, even when we were separated from Him, even when we're the vilest of sinners, even when we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life. He gave us life. When He raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. You can talk all day long about all the different lifestyles and out there, but why are we living the way we should live so we will be a witness to them and tell them how God brought us out of that stuff so they can be born again and have the same life that we have the same love that we have.
Okay. You could keep going if you wanted to. I'm enjoying myself up here. I just get to be closer to it. Something before I move on to my point is it was the righteousness of God that saved us, and it's the righteousness of God that keeps us saved. So, and the opposite of that is it wasn't our righteousness that got us saved, and it's not our righteousness that keeps us saved.
Come on.
It's always His righteousness.
His righteousness.
And so what that becomes for me in my life is it's my motivator. You know, it seems whenever you read in 2 Corinthians 5, whenever it's talking about the fact that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, it can seem kind of like a dog right turn in the text, whenever it's talking about the fact that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then from that point, it begins to communicate with us the importance of our role as being reconcilers. It's because that's our motivation. That's what drives us. It's not, I'm saved and now I'm better than everybody else. It's, He was the best. He is the only, there is none righteous. Our righteousness was as filthy rags, and our righteousness continues to be filthy rags if we try to be righteous out of our own righteousness. When we accept the fact that He is the righteousness of God, that He is the righteousness of God, and now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's what keeps us from falling into the trap of walking in a religious spirit.
Yes, yes.
That puts us in a position where we view the world as this dirty, disgusting thing that we want nothing, and then we just want to preach hellfire and brimstone to those people instead of it being that whole reality of, I once was lost too.
Yes.
And let me tell you how you can be found. And the focus being on that fact that you can be found. And really living from that place, because, you know, we have written down here, we're no longer enemies of God, but his sons, daughters, and his friends. Now, listen to Romans 5. This has been one of the most pivotal portions of Scripture in my life. It says, starting in verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Let's start there. Most people would not be willing to die for a pretty good person. I mean, so I grew up in church. I grew up, you know, like I had my moments, right? But if you want to talk about like, time spent in sin and like the things that we quantify as being these terrible sins and stuff, like I didn't live the same lifestyle that my father lived. I dabbled in certain things, but I wasn't some alcoholic or drug addict or whatever. Like, I did bad stuff. I wasn't a perfect person. But, I mean, you could look at my life and go, well, he really wasn't that bad of a person. But I would have gone to the same hell. Because there is none righteous. And so I don't look at my life and go, well, you know, I only got drunk a couple of times and I only, you know, smoked weed a couple of times or whatever. So I wasn't like that bad of a person. And so like I can go out into the world and preach to the people that were doing those things way worse than me as if I'm somehow on this pedestal up above them and that my righteousness was better than that. No, when we compare our righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus, none of us have anything up on anyone else. Okay, and so it says, moving on, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good.
And let me throw this in. We understand that statement because we live in a military town.
That's right, that's right.
And our military men and women, and even law enforcement officers, we have seen people, lay their lives down so that you and I can do what we're doing right now.
Yes.
In freedom and liberty. And so we understand that someone would give their life, lay their life down for what they believe in.
Yeah. So it says in verse 8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Wow.
Verse 9 says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, again, it's not that you take on the righteousness of God, and then he sees how good you can do to continue to be deserving of that righteousness. It's that he gives you his righteousness, and that righteousness sustains you. So the second that we can look at the world and start condemning the world and start hating the world, that's the second that we need to check whether or not we think that we're righteous because of what we're doing, or if we're righteous because of what he did. Like, we've really got to, listen, church, please hear my heart on this. Because the last thing that I'm saying is that we're going to stop preaching against sin. We're not. That's not what I'm saying. We're not talking about being lax on sin. We're not talking about not addressing these core issues and these things that keep people back, keep people separated from God. It's just that our fire and our indignation is not burning towards the person. It's burning towards the thing that keeps them from Jesus. And so it's so frustrating because I love this nation. I love that we're founded on Christian principles. But because we're founded, I think that that's what causes us in America sometimes to look at Americans and think they should be acting like Christians. Because we are founded, you can try and go back and forth on this all you want, and I'm not saying that the founding fathers were perfect by any stretch. I'm just saying we were founded on Judeo-Christian values. We were. But that doesn't mean that we are somehow Israel and we are being held to this chosen by God standard that Israel would have been kept to. We are still Gentiles. No matter how much this nation was founded on Christian principles, we, every single last one of us, unless you're Jewish, we are Gentiles. And so we can't look at the fact that we were founded on Christian principles and then look at the world and go, well, you should get it because you're an American and we were founded on Judea. They are still sinners if yes. They haven't come to know Jesus.
Yes.
And so our perspective can't be this like political one where we look at the world and say, because we were founded on these Christian values, I can then apply like this everyone should be propped up to be a believer. And then start judging them based off of those things. Well, we're Americans and we have these values and blah, blah, blah. That's a whole nother ball game. We've got to continue to come at the world from the position of Scripture. Not from the position, again, I love our founding documents. I love the Constitution, love the Declaration of Independence, love that stuff, love the Bill of Rights. I love all of it, but it is not the Word of God. Yes. It is not the Word of God. Yes. And so even though there are Christian values within those documents, those things don't create this covering of like, wow, everybody in America is like 60% saved. And so they should walk in like 60% of their salvation at least and understand that, well, of course you're not going to be for this and of course you're not going to be for that. And of course, no, listen, we've got to come at people understanding that no matter the founding of our values, they are still in need of the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're still in need of it. And they need to recognize that while they're sinners,
yes,
in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their depravity, in the midst of their lack of goodness, Jesus died for them.
Yes.
And we have to be the light of the world from that position. It's not to say like, oh, I'm a believer, and so now I'm over here. Like, yes, we are over here in like this separate realm, but to look over at the world and to say, look, you guys can come into the family.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to clean yourself up first.
Yes.
That was one of the most interesting things about my time in Nicaragua. Was how many times people said, I just need to get my life together before I give my life to Jesus.
That was me.
And I remember we were at this one house and we did door-to-door evangelism. A lot of times whenever we were in Nicaragua, we just go knock on doors, ask people, and just talk to people, figure out about their lives. And we were at this one guy's house and we're sitting there, we're outside of his little mud hut, and we're talking in Spanish, and I'm communicating with him about the gospel, and he says that statement to me. He says, I've got to get my life right. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, what do I say to this guy? And so I pick up some dirt off of the ground, like just a big handful of dirt, and he's staring at me, he's like, what is this gringo doing right now? And I start rubbing the dirt. I'm just talking to him like I'm talking to you guys right now. And I start rubbing the dirt all over my arm. And I look at him and I'm talking. And then I look over at my friend Walner, who's a Nicaraguan, and I ask him, I said, could you pour some water on my arm? And he pours water on my arm. And I say to this guy, I'm like, look, I needed the outside source to clean me. If I would have continued to try and clean myself with this dirty hand, I wouldn't be clean.
That's good.
I needed the outside source, and I was expressing this to him. Then thank God this guy ends up giving his life over to Jesus, because it was the realization of the fact that it wasn't his ability to clean up his own life. And church, if we continue to walk in these old religious standards and we give side eye to the person that's not wearing their suit when they walk in, or we look funny at the person that has their tattoos covered up, or we look condemningly at a gay person that might be interested in Jesus that comes in here with their partner, and if we're sitting there going like, I'm going to do social distancing for you, not because you have COVID, but because of something else. If we're looking at people like that, come on, guys.
Let me say this. Do y'all realize where social distancing where it originated? Social distancing? It originated in Jesus' day with the Pharisees.
Woo!
The Pharisees social distance themselves from every sinner. They would not have anything. They would not touch them. They would see them somewhere and walk on the other side of the road because they were so self-righteous and they were sinners. And I think they probably said it like a snake would, sinner. Sinner. And where would that come from? It come from the devil, because he's the great serpent. So social distancing was invented in religion. It's even today, denominations will not have anything to do with certain people that they don't look like us, talk like us, dress like us. Hey, by the way, real quickly, you know, I have on jeans, or good jeans. I have on jeans and things like that. Do you know why I changed and went from wearing a coat and a tie to dressing casual? Let me tell you. And nothing wrong with wearing a coat and tie. But I always tell people, just remember one thing, a tie has never preached a service. Neither has a collar. Okay? So let me just say this. The reason I started dressing like this is because there was a survey that came out, and it was surveyed to tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Americans or people that living in America. And the survey asked a question and said, why do you not come to church? Do you know what the number one answer was why they didn't come to church? I don't have anything to wear. I don't dress up. Nothing wrong with dressing up. I love to dress up. Okay? Nothing wrong. And I do that occasionally, you know. But when I saw that, I immediately thought, okay, I'm going to change that with me, because I want our congregation that when somebody says, I don't have anything to dress, they can say, and we actually started doing this a long time ago, and they can say this, do you have a pair of jeans? Yep. Yeah, I got a pair of jeans. Well, my pastor wears jeans on Sunday. And they would go, what? What? My pastor wears jeans on Sunday. So you fit right in. You cannot even comprehend how many people were invited and came to church just because of that.
Yeah.
And people got saved. It is so important. And the other thing is, too, is we've had people from every kind of lifestyle possible. And a lot of us came out of different lifestyles, okay? Whether it was heterosexual fornication, which is sin, or homosexuality, which is sin, okay? So many people came out or came here to this church at times, and I would speak to some of them, and I'll never forget this young lady looked at me and she said, Pastor, she said, but I was born this way. I was born this way. And I said, well, you were born with a sinful nature.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
I said, all of us were. I said, we were all sinners. We all came short of the glory of God. But then I looked at her and she said, well, if I'm born this way, don't I have to stay this way? And I looked at her and I said, let me give you an answer to that. And I said, why don't you be born again? Why don't you get born again? She looked at me and she said, how would I do that? And I told her about Jesus. She got born again. Listen to me. Still in this church.
Yes.
Married. Woo. And witnessing to people that were in that lifestyle. Just like I witnessed to people that are heterosexual living in all kinds, but I witnessed to everybody in every lifestyle because sin is sin.
Yes.
Amen. So let me just read this scripture to you. And I want to ask you this question. Did Jesus come into the world to save it or condemn it?
Save it.
I didn't hear it. Did Jesus come into the world? Save it. Listen to John 3:16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, it's our choice once we hear the good news, whoever believes, whoever, it doesn't matter what lifestyle, how much sin that you have come out of. And like Pastor Cam said, I always thought I need to clean my life up. And then I found out that you come to God with all of your sin, everything, because he took it upon himself. You give him just your life, your mess ups, your goof ups, your failures, and he cleans you up. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses. Like Cam said, it's an outside source. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and purifies us,
yes,
from all sin. And that's what everybody needs. Says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. God wishes that none would perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, verse 17. For God did not send his Son. God did not look at Jesus and say, you go down there and get on their case. Go down there and bring all the condemnation that you can. I mean, kick them around, beat them up, do whatever you can. Tell them how terrible they are, how rotten they are.
Maybe the religious people.
Get on the ground, get on the ground, get on the ground. Because it's easier for you to get up than me. This is the person who has had a horrible lifestyle. This is a person, an example in the Bible, that committed adultery. And every religious person was ready to kill and stone because that's what the law said. And Jesus comes and he looks at all the hypocrites and the religious folks and says, okay, any of you, and I say this to every Pharisaical, self-righteous, hypocritical, so-called Christian. You who are without sin, you cast the first stone. The Bible says, from the youngest to the oldest, they dropped their stones and left. And then Jesus looks and says, where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. Neither do I accuse you. In other words, he forgave her. And then he says this. Come on, you can jump up. You need help? Then he says this. Because he does not condone sin. He said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And how many of you know we all miss it at times? How many of you know we still make mistakes? We still say things that once it gets out there, we wish like a fishing rod we could reel it back in, but it's gone. Yes.
I want us to realize there that what Jesus was doing was he first dealt with her shame and then he dealt with her sin. So a lot of times what we try to do is we try to deal with sin and then hope that by the time they've cleaned up, their shame will have been dealt with. But when you start with sin instead of shame, you're going to keep on having shame. But when you start with shame, it's incredible how the power of sin starts to be broken off of people's life. We, as a church body, need to get back to the place where we first deal with the shame of saying, you can come in the door, you can be brought near, you can be brought back into the family of God, you can be lifted up and made righteous by what Jesus did for you. You don't have to be afraid, you don't have to stand at the outside of the door. Sin no longer has to have power over you. You can be renewed, you can be transformed, you can be set on fire for Jesus. You don't have to suffer from the things that you used to suffer for. You start with dealing with the shame of someone, and I'm telling you, church, if we could get this, if we could go around and instead of seeing people that are just steeped in sin and start seeing people who are steeped in shame and start to deal with that, you will be so surprised at how the power of sin will just fall off of people.
The love of God, just the love of God. I'll never forget, we were in the Ark, the building before we built this building. And this lady walked in. She had on a red dress. First of all, there are churches and denominations that you can't wear a red dress. She had a red dress on, came up to here. Tight. Hair was all messed up. She had stains on her dress. She walked through those doors, and the first thing that happened is two older ladies that were greeters walked up and put their arms around her and said, "Welcome, sweetheart. We love you so much." She started crying. She started weeping. And she looked, because this was told to me by one of the ladies, she looked at her and she said, "Do you know where I've been all night?" And she says, "That's okay, the night's passed. We're here now. You're safe. You're safe. You're safe." She said, "Come on in, let me get you a seat." At the end, and by the way, that message I was teaching that day was on the love of God. She came down and got saved. The altar minister, she was a prostitute, right out here. And somebody had invited her when she was walking home. Somebody, actually a lady, drove by, and this was her testimony, gave her a card of the church and invited her to come to church, and she started laughing at her. And she said, not the lady gave her the card, but the prostitute started laughing at her. And she said, "Do you know what I do?" And she said, "Yes, but that's not who you are." Woo! And here's what, and here's something, because the shame is, I can't come in there because people are going to know. And when she got saved, we told her, "Nobody will know your name, only your story." You know why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. Covers. Well, let me just share something with you real quickly. That lady became one of the most incredible altar ministers that we have ever had. One of the most incredible altar ministers. And I'll never forget, after she'd been in the church for 1 year, went through the classes, got her mind renewed, she came up to me after 1 year and walked up to me and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I'm celebrating. This is my 1 year anniversary." And I looked at her and I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You're not even married." And she said, "It's my 1 year anniversary that I have not had to turn a trick. In a whole year, because God has given me a job and God has taken care of me. And she said, and I've moved into my own apartment, not owned by my pimp. And she said, I am going out on the street and I'm witnessing and telling the others like me. She said, so is it okay if I bring them to church? Is it okay if I bring them to church? So before I close and have communion, the other day on Good Morning CL, as I was watching the prayer at 9 and praying and everything, all of a sudden, this young guy, he started typing and he said something about all hell to Mother Earth and Mother Yah or Mother whatever it was, Mother Love and things like that. And it immediately got my attention. Now, sometimes people put things on there that you've got to take off. Okay, so it got my attention, and I started texting. I started answering him, and he said, Mother Earth gave birth to God. That's who. And of course, we look at that and just say, oh gosh. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is where he's come. He doesn't understand. He's been educated in another place, another thing that he's been listening to. He doesn't understand. So I started texting him and I said, well, God has no beginning and no end. He's a spirit. He's not a man. And he created the earth. And so we went back and forth texting, and I told him how much God loves him and how Jesus died for him. And we're going back and forth on this. And at the end, before he got off, he said, hey, Mr. James, thank you for not condemning me and judging me. Thank you for sharing with me. And then he said, God bless you, sir. That's what people are looking for in the church. That's what they need to see from us. I mean, we're not condemning and judging. Jesus hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. When the Apostle Paul was putting people in prison and killing people and busting families up, Paul says, he writes it himself, he said, I did all of that in ignorance and God forgave and overlooked my ignorance. So people that are doing crazy stuff, you must see where they're coming from. You must see that their minds are blinded. They're coming out of a sinful nature. And you've got to see that Satan can work through them. But at the same time, when you see things like that, remember, we still have the power of the keys of the kingdom. We can still bind and loose. And he didn't put any stipulations on that. He didn't say, you can bind and loose if this person. It was not conditional. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. So when I see people acting that way, I say, Satan, I know, because I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. I know what's behind it. I know what's instigating them. I know what's causing them to do that. I say, in the name of Jesus, I bind every demonic spirit, every principality, and every ruler of darkness that is causing this, that is behind this. That's what I do. And then somebody needs to share the love of Jesus with them. If they reject it, they reject it. There's going to be, there's a lot of people that reject it. But thank God somebody shared it with me. Thank God Jesus saved me and set me free. And look what my life's turned out to be. I would have never dreamed in a million years that God would have me, of where I came out of, and all the things that my life was involved in. He would have me standing and preaching around the world through live streaming. He would have me to be able to preach and to teach His Word. And there's so many times I can't fathom that. But God, who is rich in mercy, who loved me, and even though I put my parents through hell, total rebellion against God and against everything, destroying my life and destroying lives of others along the way as I was leading them. And then one night I had my Damascus Road encounter with Jesus. Oh my gracious. One night, just one night with the Master. One encounter with Jesus, my whole life was changed. Do you know how many people are around you that need that one encounter? You know how many people that work where you work? We don't run with them. We don't go into places we used to, but we are there to be a living witness of the love of God. Not condemnation. Not you old sinner. Not that. But do you know how much Jesus loves you? Did you know Jesus died for you? And then let the Holy Spirit do what He does. If we, the church, do not get back to what we were commissioned to do, everybody's running around, what's the new thing God's doing in 2021? What's the new? We hadn't got the old one right yet. Let's be a witness for Jesus. Yes. Let's live our life the way He's called us to live and walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, because that's what gets the attention. The culture is not looking for compromise. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for something different. And that's who we are as the church. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give you an opportunity that if you're either here or you're watching us live streaming and you have never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you may be in the worst lifestyle, you may have committed all kinds of crazy, atrocious acts and things, but I'm just telling you right now, Jesus died for you. He died for you. He took all of your sin, all of it, upon Himself so that you could be set free. You could be delivered. That's the reason we celebrate communion, because we take the cup, which is the blood, is represented the blood of Jesus, and the bread is His broken body. And He did that for us. He did it when we were sinners. And let us never forget that. And I just want to say, you can have a new life. You can be born again. You can have all your sin. And then the most incredible thing is the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you. He cleans you up. He makes you brand new.
Yes.
He comes to live on the inside of you. Come on. So that you can know Him, walk with Him. It's an amazing life. Does it come with troubles and just like, yeah, because we're living in this world? Absolutely. But He'll deliver us out of every one of them. He will do it. And He loves you beyond your comprehension. Maybe today you may be sitting in here watching and you say, you know, I knew the Lord at one time, but, you know, I was just in a place that never talked about the love of God. I was in a very religious place, and, you know, I've been out in sin also, and I was born again at one time. Will God forgive me of my sin? The answer is absolutely yes. That's what it says in the Bible. He said, if we repent of that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So He wants to forgive you. You don't know how bad He wants to forgive you. He doesn't want you going down that path that the devil's going to destroy your life. So, I'm going to pray. Pastor Cam and I will pray. And if you want to be in that prayer this morning, right here in this auditorium or viewing us, wherever you may be, all I want you to do right here is just raise your hand. Just say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Say, yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? online, wherever you may be, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Just you raise it up to the Lord. He's right there where you are. Just raise him up to him, and we're going to pray. All of you that raise your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with us. We're all going to pray with you out loud. Those of you on live streaming, you pray this with us also. Father God, I thank you today that I heard how much you love me. And I heard that Jesus died for me. He died on the cross. And you raised him from the dead. And he is alive. Today I repent of all my sin. And I ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And today, unashamedly, but with great joy and thankfulness, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me and cleansing me and causing me to be brand new in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We welcome you into the kingdom of God. And let me say to all of you that got born again, on Wednesday nights, we have a class. It's called My First Steps. And it's very important, no matter how old you are, when you get that, you must build a foundation on God's Word so that you'll understand exactly what God says about you, who you are, and everything that God has done for you, which is so important for that. Amen. Right now we're going to have communion. Did all of you get your communion? Everybody get communion? Everybody got their... And by the way, those of you that got born again, by the way, you enjoy communion with us right now also. Amen. Communion is representative of not only the death of Jesus, but the power of his blood and the power of his broken body. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he first took the bread. And the Bible says before he broke it, he did something. What was it? He gave thanks. Can we just take a moment and thank our Heavenly Father for Jesus and what he did? Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for that you gave your life so that we could have life. But not only do we have the forgiveness of sins, but we have the healing of our bodies. Your body was broken. The Bible says you took all of our infirmities and our sickness and our disease in your body that we may be healed. And you said, by your stripes we are healed. Father, we thank you now. Father, as we partake of this, I'm asking that healing, Father, only you can do this, but I'm asking you that healing will flow. As we eat this bread, healing will flow into every sick body, every diseased body, every infirm body, every body that has virus. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you that as this touches our mouth, it will bring healing and wholeness and health. The Bible says he took it and he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing flowing. The Bible says he took the cup and he says, this cup is my blood, the new covenant. The new covenant. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, he is coming back. Yes. Amen. This is the forgiveness of sins, and it continues to cleanse from all sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand up. Can you just raise your hands right now and just thank Him? Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Father, we thank You right now. Father, we pray as the disciples prayed when they were persecuted. Lord God, fill us to overflowing with the power and a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Embolden us to be Your witnesses in these last days, Father God. That, Lord, we would be salt and light, and we would not be ashamed of it. But, Lord, we would go forth, Lord, and we would hold forth the word of life to all of those, Father God, that would receive it. Bring people across our path, Father, that we can share the love of Jesus with them in all that we do. Watch over us and protect us in everything that we do, Father. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, let us make an impact in these last days. Let us make an impact in these last days, Father. Lord, we don't want to just sit back and do nothing. We don't want to just cower back. But Father, we want to go forth in with courage and boldness to be witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,